SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in a very happy Wednesday to you now, the 18th of September. Can you believe that? And we are, well, we're just about 11 games away from the end of the regular season in Major League Baseball. We've got some teams that are looking to clinch their postseason berth here tonight. We've got one team that already has, and we have a whole lot of scenarios that we need to go over here to see. As still so much to be determined in Major League Baseball, and a rare Wednesday in Major League Baseball where there are only 3 day games on the slate, which is interesting enough. But as we wind down Major League Baseball, we get revved up for a huge week in college football, week four, not to mention week three in the NFL. I'm Joe Ranieri. This is Game Time Decisions, and as always, we appreciate you stopping by with us here as it's getting good now, is it not? You've got the end of Major League Baseball's regular season. That's upon us, but we're still trying to learn a whole lot about a couple of 2-0 teams in the NFL, a whole bunch of 0-2 teams in the NFL. The dreaded week three is upon us here, where no team in their right mind wants to go 0-3 to start the NFL season, because they know, as the rest of the betting world knows, the chance of that team actually making it to the playoffs in the postseason becomes, well, virtually impossible. So we do have a few of those teams that we're going to break down over the next couple hours for you, try to figure out who's a contender and who is a pretender. And we're dealing with the same thing in college football this week, also week four of the college football football season. And we're trying to grasp some of the blue bloods and just the absolute ridiculousness that the season has brought them. Florida State comes to mind here. Is Florida State as bad as their 0-3 record? Is the University of Florida as bad as they have shown over the last couple of weeks, especially at home in the swamp? Should Florida be laying almost a touchdown on the road against anybody? And should Florida State be an actual favorite at 0-3 at home to the Cal Bears, who notoriously in this spot have been very profitable as a road dog to back? We're going to talk a lot about those kinds of situations that will appear this week on the college football slate and the NFL slate. But our focus here with Major League Baseball is shout out and congratulations to the Milwaukee Brewers, who are once again National League Central champions. They ended up clinching their second straight division title, and by the way, I believe it's their third in the last 4 years. Why? Well, because the Cubs did what the Cubs usually do. They lost this afternoon to who? The Oakland A's. So now the Brewers, with that loss by the Cubs, have become the first team to clinch a postseason berth this season here. Now, I will tell you this. There seem to be an awful lot of people that forgot the Milwaukee Brewers were in this division way back in April and May when the season started. The Cubs and the Cardinals were your preseason favorites in that division. And the Brewers were, quite honestly, the third choice behind, or just in front of, rather, the Pirates, with no Corbin Burns, with Woodruff hurt, and with Devin Williams starting the season on the IL. There were a whole lot of concerns for the Milwaukee Brewers. But what ends up happening? Well, Milwaukee turns out and has an unbelievable first half of the season. They moved into sole possession of first place back in May, May 9th, in fact, and they have had at least a 5-game lead since July 20th. and at least an 8-game lead in that division since August 14th. And that is just absolutely crazy. And what it tells me and what it should tell you, if you haven't been following along in Major League Baseball, that the Milwaukee Brewers have been the most consistent team in Major League Baseball all year long. They have been rock solid and doing it with a bunch of different starting pitchers. They didn't have that bullpen fully ready to go until just before the All-Star break. But man, oh man, you want to talk about hitting the ball, playing great defense, doing all the little things right. That's exactly what the Milwaukee Brewers have done. And when we've looked this week at what the odds are moving forward for a possible National League pennant, not to mention a possible World Series title, they are still being very, very much disrespected in the marketplace. And don't forget, they had to overcome Christian Yelich, who was also ruled out for season-ending back surgery. You may recall that happening in the middle of the season. But they were amazing with him in the lineup. He was having an unbelievable year until, of course, the back went, and so did the rest of his season. But they've overcome an awful lot here, and they've got an opportunity. We talked about the Arizona Diamondbacks last year, who at this time were playing their best baseball, and they rode that right into a National League pennant as well as a berth in the World Series. It's easy to pick the Dodgers. It's easy to pick the Phillies. It's easy to pick the chalk in these situations here. But if Major League Baseball in recent memory has taught us anything, it's that don't necessarily be looking at the big names and the blue bloods. Pay attention to some of these teams that have been quietly flying under the radar and getting it done. And Milwaukee has certainly been one of those teams all year long that nobody in the market has not really given them the full credit for. So they have got a lot on. They are getting ready to go. They are also, by the way, in the market to actually get the top seed in the National League. And because of the way Major League Baseball has set up the playoffs and the formats, guess what matters this year? Well, finishing with the best record in your division, in your conference. So in the National League, can the Brewers land the number one spot with a potential bye there? It would certainly set up for a rotation there. And on the flip side, you have the Yankees, who are one game away from making sure that their postseason berth is solidified here. But I don't think over these last 11 games, as the Yankees will be out west again against Seattle, they handled their business there last night rather easily. But I doubt very much anybody in the Yankees locker room is going to be celebrating clinching a playoff spot. They are going to not only look to punch the ticket to the playoffs, they are going to want that number one seed in the American League and, of course, have the ability and advantage, any advantage that you can have, obviously, to set your rotations up against any of the wild card teams. That's what they're looking to do. So I would not anticipate this week the Yankees or anybody else for that matter just being happy to get in and think that maybe there'll be an opportunity to fade these teams after they clinch the postseason. That is not going to be the case. So there's still a lot more riding on the line in Major League Baseball as the Braves are trying to hold on. The Mets are trying to punch their ticket. Arizona trying to solidify their spot here. The Padres, I mean, you go down a list. How about the Twins trying to hold on against the Guardians tonight? We got much more in Major League Baseball coming up as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. A very Happy Wednesday to you. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we're getting ready for what should be another epic week and weekend of college football, week four. If you can believe that, we're almost a third of the way through the college football season here already. And we have so many questions still about a lot of teams. And in a year in which the entire playoff process in college football has changed, and it'll be the first time that we get 12 teams this year battling for a national championship. Still a lot of questions on a lot of teams here, but as the schedules now move into out of the non-conference games into conference games, we are certainly, I think, rather quickly going to learn a little bit more about some of the teams here that we thought might be contending for a national championship early, but not with what we've seen here through the first couple of weeks of the season. We'll have much more college football coming up to talk about with our good friend CT Betts. Chris Thurston will be here, and a very special guest here. We're bringing in the one and only legendary handicapper, Kenny White, will stop by, and we'll have a little battle here with Kenny and CT, and we'll get their thoughts on some of the popular games and games that we're all going to be watching here this weekend, this Saturday in college football. In fact, we got a lot more top 25 versus top 25 games this week than we did last week, and there is a huge one coming up on Friday, and that's going to take place in Lincoln, Nebraska. So a lot more college football coming your way here, as I don't think anybody believes Illinois is as good as some people, some Illinois fans think they are. But we're going to find out whether or not Matt Rhule and Nebraska are as good as we all think they are. And I do believe that Matt Rhule he's got the quarterback he's wanted, and I do believe he's got the kinds of players that he wants in order to do what he did at a couple of other stops along the way. You may recall what he did to the Baylor Bears University after rebuilding that program, or Rutgers. This is what this guy does, and outside for a couple of years trying to take that blueprint to the NFL and work for what is now, I think we can all admit, maybe one of the worst owners in the history of the NFL. It didn't matter whether it was Matt Rhule or Frank Reich or anybody else. There's a lot of issues in Carolina here, and we've got a lot on that coming up as they get ready, the Carolina Panthers, to bench their number one draft pick from just what, a year, 2 years now, Bryce Young. Going to the bench, Andy Dalton is getting ready to take the helm. Will it make a difference? I think Matt Rhule is probably laughing a little bit right now and saying, you thought I was the problem. Yeah, no, don't think he is the problem. I do think he has got Nebraska back to where they want to be. We also have a lot of questions in the NFL coming up this weekend. For instance, are the Saints as good as they appear to be? 2-0 team. They're going to take on the Eagles at home. The Eagles, of course, coming off of that unbelievable loss to the Atlanta Falcons on Monday night to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, just absolutely one of the all-time greatest fades in prime time that there ever has been as a quarterback in the NFL. And the only team to actually make him look competent in prime time was Philadelphia this week, and a Vic Fangio defense in which we're all still scratching our heads. The problem is New Orleans really going to drop 35, 40 points a game? And anything that you've seen from Philadelphia's defense, does that lead you to believe they're going to be able to stop them on the road? I think that is one of the more intriguing games coming up this weekend. And what about Dallas, who played New Orleans and gave up 40-plus points at home, who's Dak Prescott? Congratulations on your contract, but does that look like a $200 million quarterback to you? That was not great by the Dallas Cowboys. Mike Zimmer, the new defensive coordinator. They've got some injuries. I'll give them that. But that was an unmitigated disaster in Dallas last week and against New Orleans. So now you got a question. All right, if Philadelphia can't win a game that they're supposed to win and Dallas is getting blown out at home, who is the team to beat in the NFC East? Anybody? Bueller? Yeah, well, it ain't Washington. I'll tell you that, although I love Jaden Daniels. I've been a big fan. I said I thought he was going to be really the one draft pick in this past draft, the one quarterback taken that we were going to say Washington won this year's draft, because I'm not a big Caleb Williams guy, but ironically enough, we're going to be able to see both of these guys in action as Washington is going to be taking on Cincinnati on a Monday night game coming up this week. And the NFL, heck of a job with the scheduling. Not one, but two Monday night football games at the same time. We're basically going to be getting Jacksonville, Buffalo, as well as Cincinnati and Washington at the same time on Monday night. No East Coast, West Coast. So there's going to be a whole lot of football this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and of course, two games now on Monday. Caleb Williams is going to be taking on another up-and-coming young quarterback named Anthony Richardson, who has got all the talent in the world, but has no idea who he's throwing the ball to. That game against Indianapolis, I think, is going to tell us a lot about both those teams. I have a lot of concerns about Indy heading into that game. And then, of course, Houston and Minnesota. Is Sam Darnold, has he been resurrected? Is this the Sam Darnold we have all been waiting for that the Jet fans thought they were going to get? Instead, they got Adam Gase. And boy, that didn't work out all that well. So I love a lot of these spots in the NFL this week. We'll talk more about that coming up. And we've got a few Major League Baseball games. First pitch coming up. We'll get you set up for those as Game Time Decisions continues on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday as Major League Baseball do or die here. Final 11 games of the regular season, a couple of games getting ready to get underway. And we told you, if you're just joining us, one team has already clinched the playoff berth, and a team that I think holds a lot of value in any future market in which you're thinking about, well, is there a dark horse maybe in this year's Major League Baseball postseason? For instance, did any of you have the Texas Rangers and Arizona Diamondbacks on your bingo card last year? I doubt it, because nobody saw that coming. But it just appears that over the last couple of seasons, Major League Baseball rewards teams that begin to play or are rolling into the playoffs playing their best baseball. And I don't know if they're playing their best baseball, but I know there has been no team more consistent this year. All they have done is won games and continued to win games and was out in front. We mentioned it. The Milwaukee Brewers, who, thanks to the Cubs losing this afternoon to the Athletics, are your first team clinched in the postseason. But we also mentioned to you that there is no reason for you to think that Peralta against Aaron Nola tonight, somehow the Brewers are going to take the night off and they're going to celebrate, given the fact that the top seed is still up for grabs. They're very much in that race to have the best record in the National League. And that's important this year because of the expanded playoffs and the ability to be able to get that bye and set your rotation up the way that you want against one of the wild card teams that you are going to have to face. So it is still pretty much a pick 'em price here, 7.5 with the Brewers at home looking to continue to roll into the playoffs. They have been a huge story here this year with a lot of injuries, trading Corbin Burns before the season starts. Woodruff goes down early. Devin Williams was on the shelf, their leading closer. It wasn't looking good. Of course, Christian Yelich ends up going down with back surgery. He's done. And yet, here they are once again, heading into the postseason with a National League Central Division crown on their mantle. So I would not sleep on the Brewers as we get ready to head to the postseason. I don't know what to tell you about the Baltimore Orioles as they are just limping to the finish line here, and they continue just to lose game after game after game and series after series. It has not been a good second half of the Baltimore Orioles as, and I'll give them credit, the fact that they were as good as they were as long as they were in the first half is a testament to them. But boy, oh boy, the injuries to the starting rotation piled up. The bullpen is an absolute mess. They've already, gave Craig Kimbrell his walking papers. Now, with any luck, the Phillies will call him up and be like, hey, come on back. No, the Phillies already got enough problems of their own. They don't need Craig Kimbrell here. But the Orioles are trying to do anything and everything in order to be able to try and gain some momentum heading into this postseason. Listen, could the Yankees fall apart and the Orioles put it together in these final 11 games? Sure, they could. Do I see that happening? No, I absolutely do not. I think Baltimore is a very young team. It's unfortunate with all the injuries that they've had to deal with to that starting rotation as well as their bullpen. But my goodness, they became very one-dimensional towards the end of this season here in the second half, where if it wasn't a home run, they didn't have a whole lot else to do here. So I do think that coming off of that bad loss last night in which Snell just shut them down, the Orioles need some positive momentum here. It would be great if they can get some runs here going up against Birdsong and the Giants tonight. That game is just about to get underway, but I don't know anybody that is running to the window thinking the Baltimore Orioles can be trusted with any of this right now. We told you earlier, the Yankees are just one game away from clinching their postseason berth. But again, I wouldn't anticipate Yankees parting it up after this game in Seattle tonight. They want that number one seed in the postseason, very much up for grabs for them as well. Diamondbacks already won earlier today against the Rockies. That's good. Padres getting ready to take on the Astros, and the Braves and Reds will have all of that for you when Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday. I'm Joe Ranieri, and a special treat here tonight as we get an opportunity to talk not only college football week four, but the NFL with two of my good friends and two of the very best football handicappers you will find to the east and west of the Mississippi, in fact, as our good buddy CT Betts, Chris Thurston, is here to hang with us here and bestow some of that knowledge in college football. And we are also joined by the legendary Kenny White in the house. Gentlemen, welcome in. Let's see if we can find some bets to make here in some of these games. And CT, I'm going to start with you first, because for the life of me, I can't find anybody that doesn't want to fade Arizona State at this point in the season. I believe you're going to be on that same path, though. You got no time. You're not believing in Arizona State in Lubbock, Texas against Tech here, are you?
Joe, Kenny, I keep going against the Sun Devils, and I keep getting burned, and I will stay against them here again. I gave out Texas State last week on the show, plus two, goes off minus three. We lose by three after being up 21-7 at the break. I mean, the Sun Devils, they got some lucky bounces. They benefit from some turnovers. But this weekend, I think we see this Texas Tech team get the job done versus Dillingham Saturday in Lubbock. Tech off the bad loss to Washi State. They respond last week. They throttle North Texas. Joey McGuire, Joe, a guy I know personally, He used to be assistant coach at Baylor. Have a lot of respect for Joe. He's going to have the Red Raiders to play. I really like the way that Morton looked pulling the trigger last week. Taj Brooks was back. He's running like the wind and strong. That's a big help. Four TDs last week. I'm just still not sold on Leavitt, the trigger man for the Sun Devils. The mistakes are going to come. Big 12 opener for Joey and the Raiders. We'll want to send a message. I'm playing on Tech, laying the short number versus Sun Devils team that's playing over its means.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Kenny, that certainly feels like if you're expecting a defensive battle, that is not a game I would watch. I do think there's probably going to be a ton of points in that game. I'm struggling to figure out there's going to be a ton of points in a game you want to talk about, which involves Michigan, a new quarterback, but it also involves USC. So how do you approach this game with Michigan at home again getting points?
Hey, Joe, well, you're looking at a game where we're getting a ton of value here. The early lines that came out on the games of the year, this was one of the games of the year, and Michigan was a 10-point favorite over USC. Really didn't take any money on the game because people thought that's what the line should be with USC going to Michigan. Now, Michigan, they do beat LSU in the first week of the season. It was a little lucky of a game. LSU did not play well at all on either side of the football. And then USC gets Utah State, who's not very good, and destroyed them. This is going to be a much more difficult test, a true road game going into Ann Arbor. And the Wolverines obviously needed to make a decision at quarterback. It's going to be Alex Orjean. I think that's big. So many people say when you got two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback. That's true in the sense because there's two voices talking to the offensive players. They don't know which one to trust, which one's the leader. I think they finally have their leader in Alex Orjean. This is a better roster from top to bottom Michigan is over USC. Better offense, better defense, better special teams, and the home advantage. And you're going to give me 5.5 points? Yeah, I don't care. I did lose on them versus Texas. I'm 0-1. I didn't bet against them last week because I knew that was a bad spot for them. But they're at home once again. The Trojans are traveling for the first true road game, and it's going to be a hostile environment. This is going to be a really close game, but I think Michigan wins this by a touchdown.
Yeah, it's so funny. I saw the numbers. USC doesn't travel east very often, and boy, this is uncharted territory. They better get used to it, though. Welcome to your new conference there. CT, another game here. Shocker when I saw this was the game you wanted to talk about. Everyone loves a good car crash. There probably is no better dumpster fire than what's happening in Colorado, and it's only going to get worse here. But your Baylor Bears, are they going to add to the misery, or what do you think happens here?
Well, I think last week's win for Deion's squad just kind of inflates them in the market more than they are right? I mean, it's still the wild, wild west out there for Deion and company. And Joe, this is not a team. This is a group of kids playing as individuals. Aranda got to this Baylor team with like 2 or 3 minutes left in the first half last week when they were tied 3-3. He blasted them, telling them to wake up. And I'm pretty sure he got through because they outscored Air Force 25-0 in the second half. Sawyer Robertson filling in. He stepped up to the plate, had a big night. And so did the true freshman, Bryson Washington. And I know Kenny knows this guy. He's a freakish athlete. He's the running back, true sophomore. He's got some fullback in him, some tailback in him, speed, power. He plays the game aggressively. He's literally a coach's dream. He's a big boy. He's a kid that's going to run the linebacker over and then cruise by the safety. Averaged 8.8 yards last week in a breakout game. Watch out for him. Baylor returned a ton of starters, and I know that's not saying much because considering how bad this team was last year, but it looks like Dave Aranda has got to him, and this is a big, big coaching advantage. I think Kenny would probably agree with that, going in the right direction. I think they're going to give Deion a nice, warm welcome to the Big 12. I made Baylor the favorite in this game, so we'll grab the points here. Oof.
Oh, God, it'd be nothing better than that dumpster fire. They won't let Kenny White in it, but Deion will be banning Kenny White from watching any games. That'll be it. There ain't nobody going to be allowed in that press room after Deion continues to lose games. I'm all for it. Sign me up. Kenny, Greg Schiano, line 3, would like to know what in the hell you're thinking about not picking Rutgers in the points against Va Tech this weekend, my man.
Yeah, first of all, Joe, I have to say, why does CT look like Steve Garvey and he's been on vacation in Hawaii for 2 weeks, and it rained the entire time. Why?
I play a lot of golf any of my time.
He's got a lot of SPF. He's got a lot of SPF, Gaddy. A lot of SPF on him.
Well, I'll tell you, when I rated Virginia Tech out, we'll move on to football and get back to CT's tan. Virginia Tech is good. This is a very solid football team. I love their offensive line. They got three guys that could be all ACC. That's how good they are. They've got great wide receivers. The quarterback Jones has been very, very good. And Pry is a defensive guy that has brought in a great defensive line. They've got studs on their linebacking crew, studs on their secondary. And I know Schiano does a very good job, but he's only won 19 games in his 4 years there back at Rutgers for the second time. He did win 7 last year, but an average of 5 wins. And believe me, Virginia Tech hasn't been much better. But if you take the two programs over a whole over the last 50 years, Virginia Tech has been a far better program. They always have a better roster. They just haven't been coached up. I think they are now. I have them better offensively, better defensively, and better on special teams. I made this game 10. I laid 3, but you're still only looking at 3.5. I think there's a lot of value. I'm going to put 2 wine goblets on this game.
He's going to put 2 wine goblets on that game. I'm sure CT will come over the top with you at that particular point. All right, a couple of more here quick in the final 2 minutes of the college football segment. We'll do NFL coming up, but I've got to ask you both here. What is more of a disaster, CT, University of Florida or Florida State?
This year, it's Florida State, what Norvell has let go on here. And I hate myself. I'm coming back with them again this week. They're going to get both starting tackles back. I think it's a huge shot in the arm. I'm laying it with the Noles again. I think they're more of a disaster, but we're coming back with them, Joe.
Okay. Kenny, I don't even, are you in agreement, Kenny, that this dumpster fire is where you're looking at this weekend again as a favorite?
You know, it's so hard coming back on a team that you've lost on every time they played so far. And I've been right there with CT betting Florida State, but I have to bet them again. I'm on them one more time. And another team I'm on this weekend is SMU. They're a team I've lost on. They have played poorly, but it is a rivalry game. They're getting points now, and I've dropped their rating. Give me the Mustangs.
Yeah, I'm going to need a goblet of my own after this segment. All right, NFL next here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's get back into it here. Week 3 of the NFL season with 2 of the best here, CT Betts, Chris Thurston, as well as the legendary Kenny White. Let's rattle through a couple of these games here coming up, the all-important. If you start 0-3, your season's pretty much over here. But talk to me here, CT. There are rumors Jordan Love is back. Is he not back for Green Bay? Does it matter to you one way or the other on how you're betting this game?
Yeah, I mean, the Packers were a big play for me last week, Joe, and what a game plan by the head coach, Matt LaFleur. Truly amazing from the defense, adjusting with Willis and running the ball. Jacobs was a beast, just excellent. But I think it's a little too much to ask now to go to Nashville, play on the road versus a Titans team that could really obviously use a win. This team could easily be 2-0, but Levis's decisions has cost them, especially in the red zone. You saw the coach blast them after last week. I think the rest of the roster for the Titans looks pretty good. And I think the Pack are going to be happy if they could play ball 500 until Love is completely healthy. Now he's saying today he's going to try and play. I'm going to be shocked if he's back this early. And if he is, I really can't imagine that he's going to be very mobile. Levis still just taking too many sacks. I think he limits them. I think the Titans make adjustments here. I'll lay the short number with the Titans at home. Expect them to get their first win of the year.
Ooh, getting it done there with the Titans. All right, Kenny, I'm seeing a trend here with you. Florida State kicks our teeth in last week. You back them this week. The Philadelphia Eagles kick our teeth in Monday night, and you're going back to them this week? Are you going Eagles this week? You trust them?
Hey, first of all, I was on Atlanta on Monday night. That was one of my better plays because I love the Falcons. I'm the only person in the world that has the Falcons the sixth best team in the NFL. I don't think anybody else has them in the top 10, but they shouldn't have won the game, obviously. Barkley makes the catch, which he probably catches that 98 out of 100 times. The game's over, but I still cover taking 6.5. I don't care it didn't matter to me. I'm glad they did win, though, because I do have some futures on Atlanta and their win totals. But in this one this week, this is a rebound game for the Philadelphia Eagles this week. They go to the New Orleans Saints, and the Saints are getting so much love now for destroying the Cowboys. Nobody liked the Saints last week. I talked to a couple buddies that are still ticket writers in this business. Both of them said, we didn't write a ticket on the Saints all week long. Dallas was a giveaway who was going to win that game. And this week, it's going to be all Saints tickets probably. There'll be some Philadelphia Eagles because they're still a popular team. But coming off that loss, I think you're going to see Hurts and company be ready for this one. They saw everything that we saw out of the Saints. The Saints were great last week, but they're not a great team. They're just better than average. The Philadelphia Eagles are the better team here by 6 points. I think they get the W.
So Vic Fangio better figure it out on defense rather quickly there. Thanks so much, Vic. Let's go, CT. You and I talked about this game already this week. We're going to keep talking. I already bet the over because I can't imagine sweating out an under Detroit, Arizona. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, this team killed me last week, losing some survivors, and I had a big second half bet on them. But, right, you look at the box score, you would think that the Lions absolutely wiped the floor with the Bucs. They pretty much doubled them up in yards. And we know they have the talent. They were in the NFC Championship game last year and probably should have been in the Super Bowl. I wouldn't even say that the defense was that bad last week. They only gave up 20. Hutchinson was amazing. Sacked Mayfield 5 times. Mayfield was just extremely lucky on a lot of plays. But, you know, we know how that's the NFL and that's how it goes. And now you get a discount, right, because the Cards and Kyler, they blow the Rams out, who are decimated with injuries already week 2. I'm not giving up on Goff yet, Joe. I know he hasn't looked as great as he did last year, but this kid has the potential. He's a good quarterback, and he's going to be right there for the Lions. I love this spot for the Lions traveling here on the road. We'll lay the short number. I think the Cards are getting a little too much respect, and we'll take the Lions -2.5 to get the job done.
Yeah, right off the bat, too, the Arizona getting all that love in the marketplace here in this game. We shall see if that was an anomaly or not there in that last game against the Rams. Speaking of the Rams, Kenny White, there's no way the 49ers lose back-to-back games. Is that kind of, am I on the right track here?
Yeah, you know, Joe, I didn't think the 49ers would lose a game this year, let alone lose it in the second week of the season. They're that good. The best team I've ever rated out in my time handicapping football, which is a long freaking time, over 40 years. This is the best team by far I've ever rated. They have superstars on both sides of the football, and obviously ifs and buts. But if they don't get stopped twice on fourth down while they're driving, if they don't get a block punt, if they don't have a 97-yard touchdown, which is a half of 0% chance of happened, 49ers win that game last week by 2 touchdowns. I have people tell me, yeah, that Minnesota Viking defense looked good. And, yeah, Brian Flores did a good job. They are a little bit better. I did improve at them. The one fallacy I see with the 49ers is they've got such great pass rushers. They don't stop the run, and that's one thing they suffered from last week. They couldn't stop Minnesota when they needed to in the second half to win that game. They couldn't do it. But they'll make adjustments. And in this week against the Rams, whose offensive line is beat up and cannot run the football, that weakness will not show up for the 49ers. No Cooper Kupp. He's a 2-point position player because that's how great of a player he is. And I do have 1.5 off for the offensive line. This 49er team is easily a 2-touchdown winner here against the Rams.
All right, we're going to play real quick here in 30 seconds. I'm going to give you a team name. You guys tell me contender or pretender. CT, Houston Texans, contender or pretender?
Contender.
Kenny, New Orleans Saints, contender or pretender?
They're an average NFL football team, but they're in a weak division. They're a pretender because the Falcons are going to beat them by 3 games.
Love the way he just sucks right up to them. Chargers, CT, contender or pretender?
Pretender. Cupcake schedule so far, and they'll get the old Chargers bug. Doesn't matter if Harbaugh's still calling the plays there or not.
Kenny White, Bet the Gambit on YouTube. Make sure you guys are following. Always a pleasure, Kenny. CT, we love you, brother. Game Time Decisions returns after this on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Of year, and one of those teams not playing their best baseball and limping to the finish line is the Baltimore Orioles, who coming into this game tonight at home against the Giants have dropped 7 of their last 9 games, and they got shut out in a big way yesterday against the Giants, 10-0 in that series opener. They've already let Craig Kimbrell go after another meltdown by him over the weekend. This team is sinking quickly. They are already down 1-0 in this game, top of the second, to the Giants. Hayden Birdsong on the mound for the Giants, the Giant rookie there. They are hoping they can get the bats going here and be able to win this game and try and keep pace, of course, with the New York Yankees, who are doing everything in their power to try and solidify their spot in the postseason, but more importantly, to be able to have a chance at the number one seed in the American League with the best record. Now, they only have a half a game on the Guardians, who are currently right now playing the Twins in Cleveland right now. The Guardians handled their business last night. So did the Yankees in blowout fashion. But the Twins are up 1-0 in this game early. Guardians up. And yes, the Yankees and the Guardians right now. And who'd have thunk it? The Guardians as battling for the best record in Major League Baseball in the American League. And what could very well be a leg up on the competition. And it's crazy when you think of that pitching staff that they rolled out this year, that starting pitching, and that they lost their ace early on with Bieber. And then it's been Carrasco and just a lively and Gavin Williams and this whole crew of people that you would never think that you can bet on, but a solid bullpen and a unbelievable lineup this year, hitting for power, and hitting for playing small ball, hitting the opposite field. They had an amazing home field advantage this year, and all of that put together, if you only need to have the lead heading into the sixth inning because your bullpen is locked down, it makes winning some of those close games a little bit easier, and that's exactly what the Guardians have done. But can they maintain as we head down the home stretch here? Can they overtake the Yankees for that number one best record and a bye in the postseason? I'll tell you who else seems to be, limping here just a little bit after what was a unreal stretch right around the All-Star break and coming out of it is the Houston Astros. They have cooled down a little bit, but Framber Valdez on the mound. They are taking on another team that is looking to do anything and everything in its power in order to be able to roll into the playoffs. And what many people think, and we talked about it, don't sleep on the Brewers. Well, don't sleep on the Padres, because the Padres got a whole lot of things rolling in their way right now. And can they keep it up? Well, this is what many people think a possible World Series look ahead. This could be a little precursor to what we're going to get next month into first weekend in November. Could the Astros and the Padres be who's representing the American and National League in the World Series? It's possible. And I'll tell you right now, you're going to want to try to get those tickets in, those future tickets in now, if you truly believe it. Framber going up against Dylan Cease. The Astros have won 13 of his last 14 starts of Framber. That is what you consider and what they call in the business an ace. When you can get that kind of production from one guy and the team rallies around and you can win 13 of his last 14, that's a good sign for the Houston Astros. And Dylan Cease has been just that among all the injuries to Musgrove and Darvish and others. Dylan Cease was the mainstay of this rotation, and he's been phenomenal this year, including a no-hitter. So this is the game of the night as far as I'm concerned. That, too, is going to go on a little bit later here tonight. But telling you right now, that could be a precursor to the World Series. We got much more to get to. Another hour of Game Time Decisions coming up.